Quite a number of years ago, we had someone here who was trying to introduce some false doctrine into the church. And they left after they had failed to do so. But we received a letter from that person, or one of the people actually, it was several people involved. And the author was discussing how she was pleased that these members had left. And she said that their leaving was a sign of courage. And then now they had a chance to heal. The accusation basically was that by being with us, that we were giving them wounds because we didn't agree with what they were advocating. Those who left joined groups that I would guess most of us here would say were not teaching the truth. And so I wondered if true healing was taking place or if it's just the lack of opposition to their false beliefs was giving them a breather more than anything else. But as I read that letter, it reminded me of something that Jeremiah had stated about the false prophets in his day. And it's from our scripture reading in Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 11. He said, they healed the brokenness of my daughter of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. False prophets had gone in among Israel, teaching something that wasn't true. The wounds of Israel were only appearing to be healed. But it was only an appearance because the actual cause of the wounds really were not being treated. See, Israel's real problem was sin. In fact, if we go back and look back at what Jeremiah said, going back in chapter 8, starting verse 4, you shall say to them, says, thus says the Lord, do men fall and not get up again? Does one turn away and not repent? Why then has this people, Jerusalem, turned away in continual apostasy? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have listened and heard they have spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course like a horse charging into battle. They sinned, but God said, most people realize they did wrong and try to turn back. These people didn't try. In fact, if we go on, it says in verse 7, it says, even the stork in the sky knows her seasons, and the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration, but my people do not know the ordinances of the Lord. They didn't know what God taught. They claimed to be God's people, but they didn't really know what he taught in his laws. They didn't follow them. Worse, in verse 8, it says, how can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Behold, the lying pen of the scribe has made it into a lie. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have? The scribes were the people who were the ones who copied God's law. But in that process, they were probably the people in Israel who knew the law the best, because they were always trying to make sure they accurately copied it. And so they became teachers of the law in Israel's time. But what he's saying is they had lying pens. They were altering God's law. They were changing it. What they taught the people was not what God had said. And in verse 12, we jump down there, it says, were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They certainly were not ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who have fallen. At the time of their punishment, they shall be brought down, says the Lord. They were unembarrassed by their sins. It didn't bother them that they had sinned. When you talk about somebody who needs healing, it's the sinners who need the healing. They're the ones with the wounds. The wounds of Israel were caused by their rebellion against God. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, and in verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons of who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Israel was so corrupt, God says, you don't have any more spaces to take punishment from. They're so sinful, it's complete. It's totally covering them. And people become ill in their souls because of their rebellion and their sin. A rebellion is a sin that can only be cured by God and by His Word. Take a look at Psalms 107. Psalm 107, starting with verse 17. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders for to the sons of men. Here then is really what's needed is God's word. But notice that what had driven them to this state was their own rebelliousness. They would not be content with what God said. So therefore the cure is to go back to what God did say. Jesus Himself, when He came to heal sinners. In Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 2 and in verse 17, and hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." That was Jesus' purpose, is to bring people back to good health, spiritual health, to bring them into a relationship with God. Thus we understand the healing of a diseased soul requires God. God was Israel's healer, always had been. Going all the way back to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 and verse 26. And He said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." God punished the Egyptians with plagues of various sorts. But if Israel would just follow God, then they would not have these things, because God is their healer. Going back to Jeremiah, this time to chapter 30. Jeremiah 30 and starting with verse 12. "For thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable, and your injury is serious. There is no one to plead your cause, no healing for your sore, no recovery for you. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with a wound of an enemy, with the punishment of a cruel one, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. Why do you cry out over your injury? Your pain is incurable, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. I have done these things to you. Therefore, all who devour you will be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, will go into captivity. And those who plunder you will be for plunder, and those who prey upon you I will give for prey. For I will restore your health to the health, and I will heal you of your wounds, declares the Lord. Because they have called on you outcast, saying, it is Zion, no one cares for her. It's interesting. God starts out saying, your wounds, everything you have, is totally incurable. There's no help for it. Why bother crying over it? You can't be healed. But at the very end, he says, I will cure you. I will bring healing to you. See, they can't cure themselves, but God can heal. God can bring them a cure. In Psalms 103, starting with verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. God can cure sin. He can cure the problems that sin brings on. When mankind is caught in the depths of sin, it is Jesus who was wounded on our behalf, so that by his wounds, then we are healed. Going back to Isaiah chapter 53 and the prophecy about the Christ. Isaiah 53 and in verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourgings we are healed. This is what Christ did. And when God heals, it sticks. It's not a temporary healing. It's permanent. In Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah 17 and verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. God can accomplish it. We were talking about in our Bible class this morning. The miracle of feeding of the 5,000, the walking on the water, the stilling of the breeze. All of these show that God has power. God can do anything he decides, including healing those who are sin. But there's something that we have to understand. The only time people get healed is if they actually go see the doctor. A lot of people try it on their own, but it doesn't work. You have to actually go see the physician. So when we see in the Bible, like for instance David, he cries out to God in Psalms 41 and in verse 4. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. There has to be an approach to God, asking for help. And God promises to heal if we will just return to him. In Hosea chapter 6, starting with verse 1, it says, come now, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise up on the third day that we may live before him. But in order to go before God, we have to admit that we were wrong. That requires some humility because we were rebelling against what God said. It requires humility. It also requires some fear. It requires that we avoid the evil that caused the problem in the first place. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 7. It says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." We got to fear God. We have to turn away from evil. Imagine someone who's catching a bad disease, but he just keeps staying where he gets it in the first place. You don't get over it that way. Heeding the word of God then brings us health. In Proverbs 4, in verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body." We got to hang on to what God offers. See, Israel's wounds were a mortal blow. They were dying from it. For all intents and purposes, it was an incurable wound. And what God basically says, sadly, is they did die from those wounds. Go back to Jeremiah 8. I want you to notice verse 18 to 22. Jeremiah 8, 18 to 22. It says, "My sorrow is beyond healing. My heart is faint within me. Behold, listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from the distant land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not within her? Why have they provoked me with their graven images, with foreign idols? Harvest is past. Summer is ended. And we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn, dismayed, has taken a hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been restored?" God's saying, "I can heal." And Jeremiah is saying, "But we weren't." They had the knowledge necessary to be healed. They had the ability to apply that healing knowledge and secure a cure. But they died anyway because they would not do what was necessary. See, that's something we need to understand. We need to look at this. Today, there are people dying in their sins. And Jesus holds the cure. He has told you what to do. And so the question comes up to everyone, why are you dying in your sins? Over in Malachi, chapter 4, Malachi chapter 4, right towards the end of the Old Testament, starting with verse 1. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But as for you, fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. It's a prophecy about Christ coming. Coming with healing in his wings. And again, the question is, are we going to be the chaff that gets burnt? Or be the people that are healed because we go to Christ for a solution? I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God and would like to pray with your brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.